Yes, welcome back. Welcome back to the Grapevine. And Ray was on fire, man. He said one bill pass. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, the Grapevine. We're about to pick some more grapes. And also, you are on the award-winning The Truth 101.7, and I'm glad you are here. I'm glad you with me. But we got a lot to discuss today because we got a lot to discuss. A black woman was found hanging from a tree in the back of her house in Jackson, Mississippi, Monday night. That's right. And before anybody tells me what this looks like, I need you to know that a black woman was found in the back of her house or back of a house in a tree. This is not the first body Mississippi has found in a tree in years. It is a consistent and a constant that there are more questions than there are answers. And guess where her body is going? I'm not going to even tell you where her body is going. No, I'm going to tell you. Her body is going right to the same corner that has to investigate Mr. Nolan Wells. Yep. Her body has to go right to the same corner. Oh, boy. A black woman, somebody that we're supposed to protect, is found hanging in a tree in Mississippi. So we're going to start there. Then we're going to talk about how to keep our kids safe. How to keep our kids safe in a world that keeps handing us reasons to be afraid. Reasons to be afraid. Many conversations I've had in the last 24 hours in relationship to keeping our kids safe. Many stories have been told to me. Our kids need safe spaces, y'all. They need safe spaces. Plain and simple. And at 2:30, I've got two men virtually coming on, Brother Lou and Brother Jamil Tyler, because we need to talk about what those safe spaces actually look like. What those safe spaces actually look like when black men show up and be super, not just for themselves, but for everybody else. When black men show up, the entire space changes. So when we show up, when we're honest with ourselves, that's what happens. Then at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about a Detroit area judge. This happened last year, but I had to tell you, a lot of the fallout's coming. Called herself a new racist on tape. She called herself a new racist on tape. She resigned. Yes, she did. It was a judge, a Detroit judge, called herself a new racist. And I need you to understand what the fallout is. I need you to understand what exactly, whose lives she was ruling over while she felt that way. She felt some type of way. And Milwaukee today, I'm going to tell you, today is the third anniversary of the hat toss. Today is the third anniversary of the hat toss of the Montgomery Riverboat Brawl. Not the Montgomery, Alabama, not the anniversary of King crossing the bridge, whatever. Nah, the Montgomery, Alabama Riverboat Brawl.
I ain't wearing my shirt.
We need a shirt, right?
No, I already have one.
You got one?
Yeah.
That's why, hey, look, you can have my hat. I'm just going to toss it in the air. Listen, the Montgomery, Alabama Riverboat Brawl with Blockwoman, the captain, and then the old men. I don't know, what should we call them? The bench riders? Yeah, because they came with it. The chokers. I'm going to call them the chokers because that's all they was doing, was just choking people out. So we're going to close there. We're going to have some fun. But first, we're going to have a little seriousness too. Trees, truth, and the bat signal. That's what I'm going to call it today. Trees, truth, and the bat signal. I ain't going to talk about it. Let's get into it. This is the Grapevine. I'm glad y'all here, man. Jackson, Mississippi. A lady, young lady, I think 18, maybe 21 years old, was found on the 3rd. Police found her body in the back of a house in Jackson, Mississippi. And she has not yet to be identified, but this isn't the first. This is not the first time in Milwaukee. Actually, it happened. It happens a lot. One is enough. It happened right here in Brookfield. Like, what makes a person pick a tree that's black, take a rope, and themselves? What makes a black person do that? Right? What makes that happen? Why? Her body is now headed to the coroner's office, quite possibly being investigated as a murder investigation, possibly, from different sources, possibly, because they don't want the powder keg to blow up. So, but this isn't the first time. Last September, an 18-year-old at Delta State University named Trey Reed was found hanging from a tree in his own campus in Cleveland, Mississippi. If you know where Cleveland, Mississippi is, you know what I'm talking about. Officials, people ruled it a suicide, but his family didn't really buy it, nor did the attorney. The attorney, of course, is Ben Crump. And he helped get an independent autopsy. Mississippi got a lot of history of lynchings, covering up lots of murders in relationship to black people in their state. There's too many individuals that are going missing in Mississippi by way of what running into the woods or have been just vanishing. And then there's too many hangings. There's enough hangings in Mississippi for investigators to conduct independent investigations. Enough hangings. That's too much. This is too much, y'all. Like, this same case from yesterday, day before yesterday, is being sent to the medical examiner's office that is handling Nolan Wells' case. Mm-hmm. The young man that went missing off of Horn Island, Ocean Springs area, on July 4th. So I can't sit here and prove that any of this is either a cover-up or accidental. But it's a deep coincidence that we have young black men and women that are going missing and or being hung in suspicious manners. This young lady, it doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. So you're going to go out in the back of your house, take a rope, and hang yourself. Mm-mm. None of this makes sense. None of it makes any sense. But what can I say is this. When the same state office has the final word on multiple suspicious deaths in the black community, is in the same short window, we need to start asking hard, non-paranoia-based questions. We need to be independent and thorough. And this isn't paranoia, man. We have to be independent and thorough. I think what we call this is due diligence. Due diligence is, you know, somebody needs to be watching how these cases get handled very closely and very publicly. We need to watch how these cases are handled. Too many of our young people are going missing. Too many. And somebody knows something. Think about this. We got sex trafficking. Too many young people go missing in relationship to that. Then we have our young people who they claim are committing suicide, being found hung in a tree. Multiple trees regularly across the nation. They're just being hung in trees. That doesn't make sense. Mm-mm. That doesn't make sense at all. So, Milwaukee, when you hear found hanging in your tree, hanging in a tree, found hanging, period. What's like your gut, honest, gut level thought before anybody tells you what to think? Call in. Let me know. 833-212-1017. 833-212-1017. What's your honest take on if, quote unquote, found hanging, those words in a tree? Straight up. And we got to talk about protecting the ones still here. How do we actually keep our kids safe in a world that keeps handing us stories like this that we just passed? How do we keep our kids safe? Because that's a kid, 18 years old, 21 years old. That's a kid. Straight up. And we need to protect those people, especially it's a woman found hanging in the back of a tree, on the back of her house, and on a tree. Nah. When we come back, y'all, we'll be back in 3 minutes. When we come back, we're going to discuss keeping our kids safe. It's prevention, not just prayer. Man, yes, Milwaukee, welcome back. Ooh, that beat, boy. I don't know about that beat. Wu-Tang. Oh, my gosh. When they came out with that, some of y'all weren't even born. Straight up. Welcome back to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. We're picking some more grapes, and we're talking about keeping our kids safe. Prevention, not just prayer. A lot of us rely on the prayer, but we don't do the action. We don't do the action. The action, you got to prevent the kids from being in places where they don't feel safe. You got to keep them away from those non-safe places. It's important. It's highly important. We have kids. A lot of times we have kids who are they're making their own safe spaces. They're gathering in places where they want their friends to be. And so they make those spaces their own. They have their own schedule. They have their own activities within those safe spaces. But our kids need safe spaces. And they need our parents, you. They need you. They need you to not be afraid. They need you to not to be afraid. So after a story like the one we just talked about where the young lady in Mississippi was hung, I want to talk about, she was young. She was 18 years old from what they said, or 18, maybe 21. And she was young. She was a young lady who was found in a tree. And that got me thinking about keeping our kids extremely safe, because we're walking around. And I know so many individuals that have expressed to me that they're afraid. They're afraid of these kids. Our kids walk around, they're all black. They got Pooh-Shiesty masks. They got all black on a 100-degree day and wearing hoodies. I get it, though. I understand that piece. I know why. I definitely know why. Some kids go in and out of air-conditioned buildings, so they wear their, you know, the hoodies all day, in and out of air-conditioned buildings. Sometimes they just feel comfortable in those clothes. Some kids don't sweat as much, so they're gonna feel like, man, this is what I'm wearing. All right, cool. And it probably protects their skin. They don't want to burn up. But you cannot be afraid of the kids. You can't allow yourself to be afraid of the kids. If they walk past you, you say something. As adults. So I'm always thinking I want to leave, especially in this segment, I want to leave y'all prepared. Like, I really want you to be prepared. One thing about children is you have to know their routine. You got to know their routine. You got to know their schedule. It was an accident. It was an accident yesterday right outside my spot. And it was a young man that was off of Layton. And it was a young man that I heard the police coming down the street. Had to have been a chase about maybe two blocks. And he ran a light and he hit somebody. Car flips upside down. He's in the car. He's flipped up, turned upside down. He's just, I mean, and you could look, he was hurt. But then the other gentleman, I think he was in a black Tesla, was also hurt, but not as bad. So, but you could tell when they took this young man out of the car that he was young. He was a young kid. He looked about 18, maybe 19 years old, maybe even younger. But if you don't know where your kids are in routine and also in schedule, who they're walking with, what their route is, what time they are moving around, if you don't have a built-in check-in system, even something as simple as a text message when they arrive somewhere, that it doesn't make them feel like they're being surveilled, but keeps you in the loop. That is quite possibly like one of the best ways for parents to do what they're supposed to do. That's the best ways as parents to do what you're supposed to do. And talk to them. Really, if I really think about it, with this young man, he learned and it probably was a stolen car. He probably had the ability to get, you know, to hack into the key fob system of this car. The new way to steal cars. They just not doing keys anymore. They doing whatever. They doing any car that got a push start. They tapping into those cars. So any car that they are, you know, jumping through this electrical system, this technological system, they're taking off with it. They're using it. But where were this young man's parents? Where were his parents? His parents had to have been somewhere. Had to have been. And as a matter of fact, when they started taking him away, he had two groups of people that showed up. There were two young men that were talking to the cops, I think, basically about this incident, whoever their relationship is to the young man. But then also they started talking to the mom. It was the mom, had to have been the mother, shows up, and she was holding her heart, holding her heart because this young man stole that or had a car that almost killed somebody. I mean, it was a big, big crash. So talk to your kids honestly about the world without making them constantly afraid of it. Like, kids understand, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe y'all know some things I don't. But kids understand real risk. Kids understand real risk in age-appropriate terms. They make better decisions than kids who are either kept totally in the dark or overwhelmed with, like, complete fear. Kids do, they do what the leaders are going to do. And if you're a leader, man, in your household, get that done. Have a direct and clear and clean conversation with your child. Straight up. But then also teach them that their instincts are highly valid. Teach them that their instincts are valid. If a situation, a person, a vehicle feels wrong, they don't need a reason good enough to satisfy an adult before they're allowed to leave, yell, or run. If you don't feel, if your child does not feel comfortable, and teach your children this, if your child does not feel comfortable at all, if your child does not feel like they are comfortable in a situation, even if you are there, listen to them. Listen. I know some of you have been in situations where you had to talk to your child, like, man, calm down, man. We're just gonna be here for, you at an event, you tell your child, man, we're gonna be here for just a couple of minutes and we're gonna leave. Your child, like, nah, I don't wanna go. I do not wanna go in. I do not wanna be here. All right, 5 minutes, I'm out. I'm going right to the car. Those moments right there are family building moments. Those are family building moments. Moments where you know that your child has already said something about this. And against their best judgment, you're doing the opposite. So please, friend of mine told me about his daughter yesterday and things, you know, the things that he had to do in order to make sure that his daughter was protected in the situation. It wound up involving the cops and he wound up, you know, proving himself right. But it was some things where, you know, she was in trouble and he had to come to the rescue. So Milwaukee, don't sleep on the fact that your kids have real valid truths that will keep them and you also safe. Talk to them. Give them a reason to open up. Give them a reason to be in that safe space. Give them a reason. Don't make it punitive. Open up. Get off your phone. All right, y'all. Listen, we're going to shift a whole lot of energy here. We're going to shift all the energy. At 2:30, I got two grown men virtually And on this channel, The Grapevine, we're picking some grapes with them. We're going to talk about whether or not men can access being superhuman for their community and for themselves. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brother Lou and Jamil Tyler, two black man healers. We'll see you in 3 on The Grapevine. Milwaukee, welcome back to The Grapevine. And we We're going to do something different today. We're going to do something different. I'm glad we're picking some more grapes. And we're picking these grapes because it's time. It's time to confront our black men, right? Milwaukee, please welcome two men doing real healing work for our community. Brother Lou of Just Breathe and Brother Jamil Tyler. They're here virtually because that's what we do. We move and we heal. And so they're on the move, healing our community right where it stands. What's up, my brothers?
Peace. Was good. Thanks for having us, brother. Thank you for having us, brother.
Yes. I'm glad you guys are here.
Happy to be here, brother.
Man. So let me. You guys can hear me?
Yeah, you can.
Can you?
All right, good. I wanted to, before we get going, I wanted to make sure that our listeners know we have we're conducting a Black Men's Healing Call series on the grapevine, and we're picking some grapes in that way. The goal is to introduce the group of brothers that I've been around in my entire life for close to 30 years and or longer. And every Sunday we have a Black Men's Healing Call every Sunday for 2 hours. And we go through our healing modalities. We've been meeting consistently for about 3 years now. And we introduced the group last week. So hopefully people can tune into that segment and get a little bit more information about what we do. But we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about healing and what it means to be a black man healing right now. So hang with us, participate, be ready to call in if you feel like it, and also communicate on our YouTube chat. All right, my brother, Brother Lou, Brother Jamil, you got ready?
Can we get started? Can we get started with a prayer and then get into the breath work? We're running just like we run it on the call, brother.
Let's do it.
Is that all right with you?
Yep.
All right. So we want to pray for the healing of our hearts and minds. We want to pray and ask for protection for our children and for our community as a whole. And we want to pray that today's segment and our time together is inspiration for men who, you know, get inspired to take their healing more seriously, as well as women, to get together with your sisters and your neighbors and co-workers and just women that you're around, man, and commit to healing together. So that is our prayer. Amen, amen, and ashe.
Ashe. And
Lou.
Brother Lou.
You're on mute, brother.
Got you. I hear you, Lou. Hear you. Can we get you? Do we got you? Hello?
Hello? Yes, sir. Okay. Brothers, my apologies. Okay. Yeah,
here
I'm
we
back.
Go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Brothers, while we're here, why don't we take a few deep breaths like we usually do together? The first deep breath that we want to take, the listeners can do this with us, whether you're in your car, wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you are at home, whether you are at your desk, this will be the time for you to release some of that tension and that stress off your body. So let's do this, brothers, with each other. Let's take these first few deep breaths. The first deep breath that we're going to take is for acceptance of everything that we brought today to this session. Let's take a deep breath in and release, exhale out. And when we inhale through the nose and exhale audibly through the mouth to release that stress. Second deep breath that we take is going to be for the awareness of our mind, our body, in our spirit, our mind, meeting those emotions, meeting our heart, meeting our will right now in the moment. Everybody take a deep breath in, full of awareness, and exhale out. And then a final deep breath is going to be for the alignment of us here, all on this call here together, joining together as a collective. Let's take a deep breath in and exhale out. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Here we go. Gratitude.
Yes. So to get started, just to run people in a kind of format, we usually do this in a 2-hour period, but we're breaking this down into microscopic view so people understand what to do when they are either with their family and or with family and friends. So Brother Jamil.
Yeah, so just to give people, you know, some perspective and just a point of view, we have the Brothers Healing Call, as you said, and the Brothers Healing Call basically was a call for us to come together and start taking our healing seriously as a collective of men. Each one of us had our own struggle, our own journey that we were on, difficulties that we were, you know, trying to work through on our own. And so what we decided to do was come together and work together to help heal one another. And so that's the reason for all of this, for the Brothers Healing Call. We made a commitment to be consistent with one another, to be accountable to one another. And our goal here, coming together with you, Brother Manan, is to inspire others to, you know, get together with, you know, their brothers and sisters or family or, you know, whoever, coming together and commit to being consistent with healing. I mean, we kick it together, we travel together, we family reunion, we do a lot of things together, but we rarely come together with the focus of healing in mind.
That's right. So what is healing actually look like in relationship to Black men? Before we even talk about everybody else, right? What does healing actually look like? And I'm gonna take a step back because I want this to be as organic of a conversation as possible.
Brother Lou, go ahead. It's on you.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about healing. As I was listening to you, Brother Manan, in the first segment, you know, you were talking about the children and the youth specifically. And, you know, I think about healing and I think about all of us, how we all kind of met each other in our teenage years, in our adolescence. And we think about the things that we were susceptible to as well. So I think about healing, even some of those wounds from us being, you know, teenagers ourselves or going through our own childhood wounds, and then us being healed and being able to raise sons and daughters, you know, as healed people within community. That's really a big deal, man. So what I see outside now, when you talk about the young people, I also see a role that we step into as men, as protectors, as keepers, as, you know, not gatekeepers, but as people who are also prioritizing our health, our mental well-being, and doing that through practices like what we do on the healing call. So, you know, Jamil, man, from your particular perspective, bro, how does that fit into where you are, you know, right now? I'm just throwing that question back to you again.
That's good. And this is what we do. Like we support each other's growth through challenging growth and asking each other essential questions that we have to really reflect upon and look within. And when I think about what healing means, it means becoming more aware of self, right? Aware of, you know, things that were passed down to you from your mother's side or your father's side, things that weren't even yours, right? You were just born into a set of conditions, and things have been impressed upon you, and over the years you pick these things up, and all of the different types of trauma. Many of us on the call, many of the brothers grew up without our fathers, which left a significant childhood wound on us. And that's the same thing that you see with a lot of the youngsters who, you know, you might see acting up in the community. You know, it's fatherlessness, right? The lack of having that solid, strong male to guide and protect and to provide, right? Not having that example and demonstration of how we do this. And we grew up without that as well, right? And so we had to figure a lot of things out on our own. But for me, healing is looking back at my little self and looking at all of the things that he had to deal with and basically loving him back to health, right? Loving him back to health. And I'm realizing that the more I do that work within myself, it frees me up and opens me up to be a better father to my own sons and, you know, be a better, community leader, be a better mentor, all of the things that I am in community. So my healing has a direct impact on the healing of the community as a whole.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk a little bit more about healing and what it actually means to be superhuman. And is it our birthright? Is it our birthright as Black men to be just that? And how does our legacy play into the next movement of Black men? When we come back, we'll be back in three on The Grapevine. Yes. Welcome life, back. Life. I wonder. Will it take us under? We don't know yet. We're going to put on our flotation devices. Welcome back. This is The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. We're picking some more grapes with the Brothers Healing Call that I'm a part of. Been a part of it. Man, I might as well been a part of it since I was born, because that's how we operate and move with all my brothers on our healing call. For real. It's a number of us. We on a healing call, and I got Brother Lou and Brother Jamil Tyler on the award-winning The Truth 101.7 Radio. And I'm glad you guys are here, because we're gonna move into the next section. We're gonna move into the next section. I think the next section is quite possibly one of the more important sections. It's a longer piece. We started with a prayer and also breathing, and went into just an explanation of what Black men should be doing in our community. But now I'm going to take a step back, and this is a part of the conversation where I take a step back and I allow my brothers to conduct the orchestra. So let me take a step back and I allow one of my brothers to jump in and do some healing with all of us. All right.
You know, I like the idea, man. It's all aligned, as we always say, of the superhero, right?
And
I got my super teacher shirt on today, man. And, you know, Brother Lou, what's the connection between your superhero powers and healing, brother? We talk about that a lot.
You all can hear me good, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I believe that the connection between my superhero power and what was the other piece, good brother?
And healing, brother. How does healing unlock those superhero powers?
So I'll be honest with you, man. Like, coming back together with my brothers and doing what we do, that has unlocked a lot of my superhero powers from within myself. What I noticed was there were things that we got stuck, that I got stuck in personally, I can say that, from childhood wounds, childhood trauma. So unlocking some of my superhero powers just simply worked by getting involved in community with my brothers, really starting to become more vulnerable with my brothers, really being transparent about my journey and some of the things that I still was healing from, right, from childhood. It helped to have a safe space in a container. Manon talked a lot about the safe space in the first part of, you know, the show. It's so important, man, that we build these safe spaces that are supportive of one another so that we can actually find our healing, find our superpowers. My superpowers, man, have really developed into more compassionate listening. The more that I get with my brothers, the more I find myself getting into this space of compassionate listening. The other superpower that I find is to be present. You know, as I think about being present with you all every Sunday on the call, I also think about being more present with myself. You know, I always tell people, man, whatever we want to give to other people, whether it be our children, whether it be our relationships, we have to be willing to give it to ourselves. So being present, man, with myself as I am right now out in nature, that's been a big part of my healing and tapping into those superpowers. What about you, good brother?
Man, I think for me, healing from the direction that I came from, being with you guys and having these calls, some days you're like, man, in all honesty, some days you look at the call, you're like, okay, all right, I got to talk to some people. No matter who, I mean, no matter how close we are, it doesn't matter. It was just me having to like gear up to expose my vulnerabilities in response to the questions that you guys were giving me. And also these exercises you guys were, I mean, we were going through writing exercises. We did yoga on Zoom. We did breathing exercises. We were doing a lot of crying. It was a lot of crying, a lot. And brothers, you know, we know that, you know, black men don't cry. And it was, this was, you know, for me, it was the most massive event for me in my life, that of the things that I was going through, this thing became even more universal.
Yeah, that's powerful. What about you, Brother Jamil?
For me, I think my biggest superpower that's been unlocked is my ability to connect, right, with my brothers spiritually, right? It's been a spiritual transformation for me, in the sense that when I hear my brother speak, I can see myself in it, right? It's like that reflection. And then I can see how spirit is working to release us from things that have been, you know, we've been tethered to, that's been binding us up and holding us back. Individually and as we work together, because that's really what it is. The other part of that superpower is like the Avengers, man, when we come together. I just watched Spider-Man with my boys, and, you know, just looking at how when you come together and you work together, you know, it ignites something in all of us, right? There's a lot of mental telepathy that go on and, you know, telekinesis, and like all of these different special gifts, just because we're connected in that way. And I think when you're around people long enough going through the process of healing, it just opens up so much within you that you feel greater than just yourself, because you are connected to something bigger than self.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement, man. Manon, as I'm thinking about this show, man, like you talk about the grapevine, they say that the fruit is out there, man, but you got to go out on the vine to get it, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times, man, that's where we are with our healing, man. You just got to go out on the limb, you know, you got to go out on the limb to go get that grapefruit, man. So I feel like that's a big part of what we do. And this whole program is called The Truth, man. It's like being willing to be exposed, right?
Yeah.
In front of others, right? And to take that risk, right? But it has to be safety there, right? There has to be that safe space container there. So I think that exposure is very important, man. So I'm excited to bring this kind of exposure to, you know, radio, to your show, to other listeners. And I hope it benefits people to think about how they too can begin to have this healing transformation in their world with a group of their friends or people that they feel safe with, you know?
Yes. You know, I, you know, for us, we always talk about, and I think we first even started out, now this was actually my first time talking about shadow work and how shadow work is valuable, is powerful in so many ways. Am I right?
Very much so. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know we did the series on showing the shadow some love, and we talked a lot about, you know, how to do that. You know, what does that mean? It looks like, you know, looking inside of our judgments and our opinions and our views of everyone and being able to see ourselves reflected, as my dear brother said, in one another, right? So being able to look at your dear brother here going through a transformation of his own and being able to see your own reflection through his experiences, that was a big part of what we did. And I think many people could connect with others, man, just by simply having a lot of grace for what you see people going through and knowing that it could be an experience that you've had or something that you could go through too, and just being able to humanize everything, man, on this journey. So, yeah, that's been a big part of our collective as well, just showing that shadow some love and getting into that healing work as well.
So this is the, you know, this is the microscopic view of a black man's healing call. We hope everybody that is tuned in and is tuning in can see how we are trying to relay a message in a short amount of time. And we're just testing this format out. But before we go, we want to make sure that we leave out of our space with proper intention and proper purposefulness. So we'll have a prayer and also breathing to breathe us in, to breathe us out, and also pray us out, and we can be done. So
yes, indeed.
Go ahead.
So why don't we take those deep breaths, and I'll pass the mic over to my brother. We'll take three deep breaths again, everyone here. The first one, just for the time that we've had today to refresh our mind and to renew our spirit, right, and get a fresh perspective today. So let's take a deep breath in for that refresh time. And exhale out. The second deep breath will be for the resetting of our nervous system, the time that we've had to reset our nervous system, which is very grateful that we've done this for ourselves today, I'm pretty sure, to let some of that stress and that tension go. Deep breath in for the reset. And exhale out. And the third deep breath will be for the restoration or the reconnection back to our peacefulness within. Deep breath in and exhale out.
Yes. Brother Jamil.
Yes, indeed.
As we close in prayer, we ask that we were successful in inspiring people out here who are listening to take their healing serious. We pray that we are protected and rightly guided. We pray that we are healing just by having these kinds of conversations. And we pray that everybody is in acceptance of where we are. However, also looking forward to where we can be as we envision, right, a world that's better for us all.
Amen. Hey, y'all. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Brother Lou, Brother Jamil. I appreciate you guys coming on to the Grapevine. We'll be back next week, but we're going to we might be back with some more people on this line, baby. So tune in to the Brothers Healing Call next week, 2:30 on Wednesday. We're going to come with some more healing because we need it in our communities. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back in 3 minutes.